Welcome to the Pure Flix Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlix.com. PureFlix.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, and welcome to the Pure Flix Podcast. I'm Billy Hollowell, and we are diving right in with a great interview today with author Laura L. Smith. She's got a new book out called How Sweet the Sound, The Power and Promise of 30 Beloved Hymns. Now listen, I'm going to tell you guys, I enjoy hymns in church, but it's not something that I would maybe put on, you know, and listen to while I'm working, right? I love contemporary Christian music. I like knowing what's out there, listening to it. But hymns are not traditionally songs that I'm putting on. And what's interesting, though, is that Laura has put this book together and really gone into the deep, profound lessons that we could take away from these songs, songs that have spanned generations, right? And when you start to think about it, it's really fascinating within the church how music, right, has held this powerful place. And songs like This Little Light of Mine and many others, they've carried on. They've become popular with our children and our grandparents and our parents. And, you know, they kind of carry on generation to generation. So we're going to be talking in just a moment here with Laura Smith about How Sweet the Sound. Now, I also, before I get into that interview, I want to encourage you to check out insider.pureflix.com. PureFlix is obviously an amazing streaming service, and you can watch thousands of TV shows and movies over at PureFlix.com. But the other thing to pay attention to is the blog, and I get a chance to write the blog. We've got daily content, inspiration, Bible verses, interviews, and so much more. So head over to insider.pureflix.com. Now, with no further ado, I'd like to welcome Laura Smith to the show right now. Hey, Laura, how's it going today?
Great. Thanks so much for having me on, Billy.
Well, thanks for coming on. You actually are tackling a really interesting topic, and it's one that I think we don't always dive into enough, and it's the meaning of hymns. You know, when I think of hymns, there's so many songs that come to mind from just my childhood, things that I still hear. I think of, obviously, hymns that are popular in the adult church world, but also songs that are popular among kids, right, that have been adapted to children. And so you have a new book, How Sweet the Sound. Tell us a little bit about this project. Why did you dive into it?
So I think God just really sent me this project. I wasn't thinking about hymns, but my publisher actually approached me and said, hey, would you consider writing a book about hymns? And whenever I get approached about a new project, I pray about it first. And I was like, God, okay, so this looks like it came from you, but did it, or is it just, you know, and I had a road trip ahead of me. I was actually going to go see my oldest daughter. She plays soccer and her game was 2.5 hours out of town. And I know I was going to be in the car. And so I was just praying about it as I was driving, and God literally dropped what became the first three chapters of the book into my heart on the car ride. And it was just this is why hymns are important. He's like, this is how they've impacted you recently. And if they've impacted me recently, then how can they be impacting other people? And really, the things that he gave me were not like the history of hymns or just kind of like an old fashioned look at hymns. It's a fresh view that they're still alive, that they're God's music, and that they still have so much power today. And so as God was dropping these little things in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, like that happened. And that hymn totally undid me and I didn't see it coming. And oh my gosh, that hymn totally fortified me when I needed it. And I was like, okay, so hymns are super relevant. Even though they weren't top of my mind, God showed me how they were. And then I've had this awesome opportunity to write this book and hopefully show other people how powerful and how much they can encourage and strengthen us today.
Well, because it does seem like there's this assumption, right? When you think of hymns, the word itself, it brings to mind songs that, oh, those are old songs. Those are songs that were written a long time ago. We don't need those anymore. We have all this new music, right? And there's a lot of critique of some of the new music out there, by the way, that I've heard that's interesting. I mean, there's lots of great Christian music out there, but hymns are something deeper. What did you discover? And you spoke to it a little bit just now, but about the ongoing, I guess, and timeless power of hymns as you were working on this book.
So first, I know a lot of people think of them as old fashioned, and I'm trying to reframe that as they're vintage. I think
I like that.
Both can be cool, right? And hands are actually pretty cool once you take the time to look at them. The Bible actually tells us in Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19 to sing hymns. It says to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs verbatim in both of those verses. And as most things in the Bible, when it tells us to do something, we should pay attention. There's a reason for it. And also, when there's something in the Bible that God's asking us to do, it's not because he's trying to control us or punish us or give us a to-do list. It's because he knows it will help us. And when we sing these hymns or have them as the playlist in our lives, then that's what's top of mind. Most of them come straight from passages in Scripture. You know, fix your eyes upon Jesus, as Hebrews 12:2, like fix your eyes upon Jesus, right? A lot of them come straight from Scripture. So when you're singing these hymns or listening to these hymns, this is what's filling our minds. This is what's filling our heads instead of our social media feeds or our news feeds or what culture is trying to tell us is important or what we need to achieve or prove or what our house needs to look like or what we need to look like. Instead, we're like, oh, we have this blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. What a friend we have in Jesus. Like, we all of a sudden are flooded with the peace and hope and love and joy that he offers. And that's the soundtrack for our lives.
Yeah.
A beautiful soundtrack to be playing in the back of our minds as we're processing everything that's going on around us.
And there's something interesting about the thought that a song could span generations, right? And still the meaning hasn't changed. The meaning is this eternal meaning because it's talking about eternal truth. I mean, there's something that I really love about that, and admittedly haven't thought enough about it. But as we're talking about this, it's so true, right? That people from long ago being able to sing the same words that we are singing now, and nothing has changed about their meaning.
Yeah, no, it's super, super beautiful and super powerful that this isn't. So I think, you know, God loves it when we sing music to him, and that could be modern worship music or hymns or something that you make up your own if you're a songwriter or have that gift. But I think these songs that Christians have been singing for hundreds of years, like, it's so powerful just to know that the body of believers have been uniting in song, uniting in worship, focusing on this, where the Bible tells us we should stir one another on to love and good works when it says that two or more are gathered in his name. Like, these are, when you're singing these songs together or even over time collectively, I just feel so much power in that.
So one thing that I find really interesting is I think back to my childhood. I think back to songs like This Little Light of Mine or, you know, obviously Go Tell It on the Mountain. What do you think it is? And maybe it's what we're talking about here, the eternal value, but what makes these hymns persist and stay with us? And it's almost like it starts over with a new generation. These songs are there and they're present.
So I think, you know, This Little Light of Mine, it's hilarious because it's an Amazon commercial right now. and people all over the world are hearing this hymn and not even knowing it's a hymn. But it's referring to Jesus telling us that we're supposed to be the light to the world, right? Like, that he wants us to shine our lights. He is the light of the world, and we're supposed to be shining that light. Jesus tells us that in the Gospels. And it's something we really want to do because God put himself in us, because we're created in his image. Like, we're wired to actually shine light. And you have this simple hymn that's just so easy to grasp. Like, yes, I do want to let my light shine, especially in these crazy times we're facing. And, you know, I think there's power in the refrain, like, put it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Right? and you see the little kids, like, let someone blow it out. And they're like, no, you know, it's just this emphatic, like, positioning of who you are, and they're simple, but they're honest and they're real and they're straight from Scripture.
That's amazing. That's probably what it is. Sometimes it's the simple things. I didn't know about the Amazon commercial. That's interesting. I hadn't seen that.
It has, it's all around COVID and, like, people being in their houses, and they're, like, writing messages to their Amazon driver on their windows or in chalk on the street. Like, how to let our light shine in these quarantine kind of times. And it's really a, like, sappy, beautiful commercial, but I'm like, people are watching this. They're like, yeah, I'm going to let my light shine. And they don't even know it's a hymn. And what an awesome way that this hymn written forever ago is still permeating our lives, still rings true, is reaching people and showing people what Jesus can be. And even if they're not aware that it's doing it quite yet.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty cool. So anybody who has worked on a book will know this, but when you start a project and you feel called by God to do it, you dive into it and then you write it, at the end of that, usually something has changed. You've learned something, you've experienced something during that. So what for you, what was that experience like at the end of writing the book? What changed? What did you learn?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I grew up singing hymns in a traditional church. Now I go to kind of a modern worshipy kind of church. And I had, the hymns were still in me somewhere, but I hadn't relied on them as much lately. And just going deep into them, now I listen to hymns so much. I just think they are so powerful. They're such a great tool to center ourselves on Jesus and who he is and how much he loves us. And their words are just gorgeous. I don't know. They have become so powerful for me. And I'm praying that when others get their hands on this book, whether they're a hymn lover or not, that they'll see this as a great tool to recenter themselves, redirect in the midst of the frantic and the crazy and, oh gosh, not another email about that. And, oh, that was canceled. And, you know, stressing out, just like that. They're so recentering and so powerful and so beautiful.
So my final question for you as we, and I appreciate your time, this is a really interesting conversation, but what are you hoping people take away? What is the big, at the end of reading your book, what's your hope for the action steps, the thoughts, the feelings that people will have?
Yeah, I just think, I pray that they're reminded how much God loves them. There's really, the lyrics of the hymns as I go through them, I found this common thread through all of them. They remind us that God is on the throne. He is holy. He is powerful. He is almighty. So knowing that that's who our God is, okay, he can control everything. He is holy. He is perfect. And then that he loves us. Okay, so this perfect, holy, all-powerful God loves me. And then that he will always be with us. And those are the three things I found throughout all the hymns. God is holy. He loves us. And he is never going to leave us. Great is his faithfulness. And I think if we literally clung to those three truths as we went about, think of anything you're facing, any horrible or just semi-bad thing you're going through right now, you're like, okay, but if God's in control and he's perfect and he loves me and he's never going to leave me, then it's like, okay, then I can handle this and I can face this because the God, perfect God, creator of the universe is on my side and he's not going to leave my side. So those are the, if people could walk away with those three truths, then, I've done my job, but I'm praying that over this book, as it releases into this world, that people will, realize that and feel that down to their souls.
Well, and that's really a message people need right now. I mean, with COVID and just the chaos that we have across the board, that is what people need to be hearing. So I appreciate you sharing that and we wish you great luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to PureFlix.com right now to start your free trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
And we're back with more of the PureFlix podcast. As you heard during the break, we are part of the Edify Podcast Network. You can download the Edify app. It's E-D-I-F-I over in the App Store. Check it out. It's on Android and Apple. This is an app where you can listen to all different Christian podcasts, including this show, and it's all Christian podcasts. So you can find everything from sports down the line to relationships and theology. I mean, the list is a mile long. Go ahead and download Edify today. Okay, so I wanted to share a couple of verses with you guys before we go today. And these are powerful scriptures, and especially in light of what has been going on, this craziness in our culture right now, the fact that there's so much uncertainty. Some of you have your kids back in school, others are going to be going back into school. Some of us are in work. Some of us are going back to work. Some of us think COVID is a major deal and we're afraid. Others aren't. There is so much division and uncertainty. But there's also so much comfort in knowing that there are Bible verses that really tell us how much God loves us and cares for us. And so we put together a great little list over at insider.pureflix.com. It's titled, We All Need These 16 Bible Verses About Safety, Sanity, and Comfort. And it's like, yeah, I could use some Bible verses about comfort. I think we all could. And so one of my favorite verses just about the comfort of God is 2 Timothy 1:7, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You know, we can get power, love, and self-discipline from God. And I think it's so easy to feel like we're downtrodden, like we're cast out, like we're lost. And yet sometimes it's just a matter of reliance on God and looking to Him, even when we can't see the path in front of us, even when it's foggy and the chaos is all around us, that we can center ourselves by knowing that God's will for us is what really matters. And so knowing that is such a powerful reminder. And then also knowing that when we feel off-center, when we feel out of control, that we can get that self-control, we can get everything we need from Him. Another verse, Luke 1:37, and I really love this one, for no word from God will ever fail. I mean, that is incredibly powerful. I think we try to make our own word happen half the time. It's like, I want to do what I want to do, and I want to get where I want to get, and sometimes God is an afterthought, but when it comes from God, when it's His plan, we can't fail. And I think that, I know that that is a pinnacle thing for us to remember in our lives. And then the worry. Like, a lot of us get knocked down by worry, and I look at Luke 12:25, and these are all the NIV, by the way, in case you're wondering. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Like, we can worry all day long. It's not going to benefit us, though. And I think that is the important thing that we have to remember about worry, is that it just eats away at us. It does nothing positive for us. And so it's human nature to worry, but we've got to cast those fears, those uncertainties on Him. So with that said, we are rounding out to the end of the show. Head over to insider.pureflix.com. You can read that story and many, many others. Head over to Edify and just, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy the shows that are over there. Subscribe to the PureFlix podcast on Edify. And we will see you very, very soon on another episode of the PureFlix podcast.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix. And on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix podcast.